John chapter number 19. We'll begin reading here in John chapter 19, verse 28. The Lord works all these things out, you know. We make songs before I really know what I'm going to be preaching on. And people sign up for songs to sing specials before I even know what we're going to preach on. And then the special, like that, to the cross, that was a blessing. And then we're just going to go right into God's Word on the cross, right? That's what it's... You know, you got to come to the cross. Everybody has to come to the cross, right? Jesus paid it all on the cross. And we got to come to the cross of Jesus Christ. And so we're going to look at this here today. In John chapter 19, start reading here in verse 28. The Bible says, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken, and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first, and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus, and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true. And he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. For these things were done, that the Scripture should be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken. And again another Scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they pierced. So I'm going to preach here a message today out of verse 30. It is finished, the shout that opened up heaven. Look here, the shout that opened up heaven. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I love you. And Lord, I do pray now that you fill me with your Spirit. I pray, Lord, you'll use me here today. I pray you'll give me your words, your power, your boldness, and clarity of thought, Lord, to speak the truth of your word here today. And Lord, I pray you do what only you can do. That's to speak to the hearts of those here today. And Lord, maybe there is somebody here that has never received you as their Savior. Lord, I pray today is the day of salvation. And Lord, I just pray you meet with us now, Lord, to give you the glory and honor for everything that you do. It's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Now the hymn goes like this. Up Calvary's mountain, one dreadful morn, walked Christ my Savior, weary and worn, facing for sinners death on the cross, that he might save them from endless loss. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems now I see him on Calvary's tree, wounded and bleeding, for sinners pleading, blind and unheeding, dying for me. Now here in our text, Jesus had hung on the cross for some 6 hours. The first 3 hours he hung in daylight, and he spoke of forgiveness to his persecutors. He made future preparations for his mother. And remember, he saved the soul of the thief on the cross that was next to him. And then for the next 3 hours, the sun is darkened as the Father turns back on his only begotten Son. And Jesus spoke yet two more times. The first dealt with a spiritual suffering. He says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It was during that time that the full wrath of God was put upon him. The sin debt of all mankind was placed on the Lamb of God right then and there. The second suffering, he says, I thirst. I thirst. And Jesus was not numb to the pain. He felt the pain. He felt the wrath of God, but he felt it alone. He felt it alone on that cross, and he took it to the fullest. He didn't quit. And now we come to verse 30 here, and Jesus simply says, it is finished. Let me tell you, these are not the words of defeat. These are the words of triumph. The shout that opened up heaven. And he didn't say, I am finished. He said, it is finished. He didn't say it's pretty much a done deal. Neither did he say it's almost finished. He said it is finished. And he didn't say if you work hard, someday it might be finished. Or, hey, I've done my part. The rest is up to you. His simple statement was powerful. It is finished. These are the words of victory. These are the words for victory for Jesus Christ, but they're also words of victory for you and I and for all of those who would come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. These words were not whispered. These words were shouted. It is finished, was the cry here. In this one statement, Jesus summarized the eternal plan of God for eternal redemption for all mankind. So today, I want to look at that. I want to tell you what was finished. What is finished? Here, number one, the fulfillment of the prophecies are finished. Here in our text, in verse 28, Jesus says, "After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst." What things are we talking about here? But what things need to be accomplished? The Old Testament Scriptures. The Old Testament Scriptures foretold of the coming Savior. They foretold the Messiah that was going to come, and there are hundreds of, well over 300 prophecies of the Messiah, the birth, the death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And He knew every single one of these prophecies, and He knew that according to the Scriptures, they had to be fulfilled. When Jesus says here, "I thirst," no doubt He thirsts. He was thirsty. He hadn't had anything to drink for hours. But here's the thing. Jesus wasn't complaining about His thirst. He wasn't even asking for a drink of water. The emphasis on Him saying, "I thirst," was to fulfill the Scriptures. In Psalm 69, verse 21, the Bible says, "They gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink." He's fulfilling the prophecy. Throughout the Old Testament, we see passage after passage that foretold of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Psalm 22 is a big one. And this afternoon, I'm going to be preaching on Psalm 22. It is like known as you know, it's talking about Jesus Christ on the cross. But there is prophecy in that book. In Psalm 22, verse 1, the Bible says, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Right? Spoken of Jesus on the cross. In Psalm 22:16, "They pierced my hands and my feet." Talking about the crucifixion. Right? The Roman crucifixion wasn't even in place when David penned that psalm. Isaiah 53:5, "He was wounded for our transgressions." Zechariah 12:10, "And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced." Everything that needed to be done, everything that needed to be accomplished, everything that needed to be fulfilled in the Word of God concerning Jesus' suffering was complete. It was finished. Not one prophecy was left undone. Jesus fulfilled it all. Everything happened the way God said it would happen. Now, when we look at the account of the cross, and we look at Jesus dying for our sin debt, we probably would say the greatest agony of Jesus Christ on that cross was the judgment that came from His Father. It wasn't the beatings or anything. It was probably the fact that Jesus was all alone for the first time. In Psalm 22:1, I mentioned Jesus said there, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" But that is the prophecy fulfilled in Matthew 27. If you flip over to Matthew 27, here, flip over just a few pages to Matthew chapter number 27, and I'll show you this here in verse 46. Right, this prophecy fulfilled here when Jesus is on the cross in Matthew 27. In verse number 46, the Bible says, "And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" The greatest agony that Jesus was to endure right here while He is on that cross, for the first time ever, the Father had turned His back on Him. The Father was no longer right there with Him. For the first time, He was separated from His Father. Now we see there in Psalm 22, the cry is prophesied there, but the reason is because in verse 3, the Bible says, Thou art holy. God is holy. God is so holy, He cannot even look upon sin. He cannot even be around sin. Jesus Christ bore our sin. He took on our sin on the cross that day. The result, He had to bear the penalty of our sin, and that penalty is separation. For the wages of sin is death. That death isn't just dying and going to the grave. Death is a separation forever and ever from God and the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. But 1 Peter 2:24 says, Who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. What am I saying? I'm saying the fulfillment of the prophecy was finished there when Jesus screamed out, It is finished. Number two, the payment of sin is finished. The payment of sin is finished when Jesus says there in verse 30, He says, It is finished. That Greek word translated finished means to pay in full. It means the debt has been paid in full. And so when Jesus screams out, It is finished, it meant that God the Father in heaven was satisfied with the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross that day. He paid it all. He paid the full ransom price for your sin debt, for my sin debt, and for the sin debt of the whole world. And you know what God the Father did? He accepted it. He accepted what Jesus did. He accepted the shed blood of Jesus Christ on that cross that day. The payment of sin is finished. In Isaiah 53:11, the Bible says, He shall see the travail of His soul and shall be satisfied. By His knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for He shall bear their iniquities. We have the gospel message in 1 Corinthians 15:3-4. This is the message that saves. This is the message that you got to believe on to get to heaven. It says this. It says, For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. You see, Jesus paid it all. The sin debt has been covered. The blood of Jesus Christ takes away all sin. He paid it all on that day. And 1 John 2:2 says, and He is the propitiation for our sins, but not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. You see, He died for the sin debt of the whole world, not just race, one group of people, but He died for all people. That word propitiation, it has to do with the meaning of appeasing. Appeasing, okay? It literally means the appeasing, Jesus' blood appeased, it satisfied God. It has to do with the covering of the Ark of the Covenant, where the blood was applied on the Day of Atonement. You see, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. The best you and I can be isn't going to cut it. You know, I used to think, as I was saved at 38 years old, and I lived a worldly life. I lived in the world, okay? But I always used to think, you know, one day I'll die and I'll stand before God and He'll bring out the scale and all my good works will be piled up. There'll be so many, right? There'll be occasionally a bad work, right? But the scale would always tip in my favor and He'd say, come on into heaven. But that's not the way it works, right? That's not the way it works. You know, Jesus says you got to come to Him. Jesus said He paid it all. The blood of Jesus Christ covers it all. You see, the Bible says in Isaiah 64:6 that all our are as filthy rags. All those things I thought were good, God says, that's filthy rags. Not going to cut it. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:12, they are all gone out of the way. They are all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Not one of us. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. And death, like I said, death isn't just dying and going to the grave. You know, death in the Bible, separation, right? A separation from God. The body goes to the grave, but the soul goes to heaven or hell. You see, that sin demands a payment, and that payment is death, eternal death. The Bible talks about that in Revelation 20:14-15. It says, and death and hell are cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That is eternal torment. That is eternal suffering. That is eternal. You're not getting out of there unless you come to Jesus Christ in this life. You take your last breath, it's off to eternity. It's too late to change. Right? And since Jesus satisfied the Father, those that have been born again, you never have to die. Oh yeah, we may close our eyes here. We may go to a funeral and that body is there. But if they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 11, Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. You see that? That saved person takes their last breath here. They close their eyes here, take their last breath, and they open them in heaven. And they see Jesus. Oh, it's all worth it then, isn't it? Right? They see Jesus. And they see the splendors of heaven. And they see Jesus, right? But then he says in that same verse in 26 at the end, he says, believest thou this? Believest thou this? You see, he brings everybody to that point to where you got to make a decision. Believest thou this? Do you believe that? Have you received Jesus as your Savior? You see, there's a lot of people here today or out in our world today that don't know Jesus as their Savior. They don't know for sure that they're going to heaven. You see, you believe on Jesus Christ, He'll save you. He'll take you to heaven, and it's instantaneous. You're not working for it. You don't have to work up to it. Or we can never believe, or we can never do good enough. All we got to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Him, and He is in me. And God accepts the appeasing death, the appeasing blood of Jesus Christ in me. John 6:37 says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. You see, there's a lot of people out there that talk about you can lose your salvation. But you see, nowhere in the Bible did anybody get born again, reborn again, reborn again. They got born again once. And we look at David. David had a lot of things in his life. He had a lot of sin, but he repented of that sin. Right? He said, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. He didn't say, restore unto me salvation. Restore unto me the joy of salvation. He took it upon himself. He took the death upon himself. He took penalty upon himself. Isaiah 53:6 says, the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all, and he rose from the dead victorious. It is finished, was the cry. He rose from the dead. We know that. You see, in the Old Testament, they had this thing called the law, right? And they had to continuously offer sacrifice. They had to sacrifice the lamb and then put forth that blood. And there was things that they had to do. But Hebrews 10 and 11, chapter 10, verses 11 and 12, the Bible says, and every priest standing daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifice, which can never take away sin. You see, all that sacrifice never took away sin. It pushed it forward. It pushed it forward to the cross. You see, Jesus Christ is that perfect sacrifice. He offered one sacrifice. In verse 12, it says, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. It is finished. It is finished. Jesus Christ paid it all. You see, that Old Testament, those high priests, they'd go into the Holy of Holies once a year and they'd offer the blood of the Lamb. But Christ is our great high priest. He offered a sacrifice. He put his blood on the mercy seat. And when he said, it is finished, that veil rent from top to bottom. Hey, access was granted for you and I. It is finished. Hey, that veil, you know, that veil is like 60 foot high. Right? That is an act of God. No man did that. God did that. And when he did that, it symbolized that we have direct access through God. How is that possible? Through Jesus Christ's death on that cross, his burial, his resurrection. And now we can enter boldly onto the throne of grace. Oh, praise God. The payment of sin is finished. Number three, the plan of redemption is finished. Jesus cried out there in John 19:30, it is finished. Now, this wasn't a spontaneous reaction. This wasn't just a spur-of-the-moment thing. This was the fulfillment of a plan that was set forth, put in motion, way before the world was even formed. When Jesus went to that cross, He was finishing the work that God had already foreordained. In Revelation 13:8, the Bible says, "The Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." From the beginning of time, God had always planned. God had always planned and knew that He was going to send His Son, Christ, to die on that cross. Before Adam sinned, He already had a solution for God. This was not plan B. Right? We all like to have a plan B, right? We want to have plan B. We want to have plan C and a plan D. But none of these were in effect with God. God had one plan. One plan, and that plan, Jesus Christ. You see, God created male and He created female. There's two genders, okay? And you read Genesis chapter 1, it tells us that. You get to Genesis chapter 3, and man sins, right? Man disobeyed God. God said, don't eat off of that fruit, off of that one tree, you know, or else you'll die. But when they took that and ate it, Adam sinned. In Genesis 3:15, we have the very first prophecy of that coming Savior. The Bible says, "And I will put enmity between thee and thy woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." You see, Satan bruised the heel, but Christ crushed the head. At Calvary, it looked like defeat. It looked like Satan was... The Son of God is dying up there, but at the cross, Satan was defeated. He was defeated. The plan of redemption was finished. What Satan thought was, yes, this is sure victory, turned out to be his greatest defeat. In Hebrews 2:14, the Bible says that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. You see, all those Old Testament prophecies pointed to Jesus Christ. They pointed to the cross. God didn't abandon that plan there on the cross. He finished it. Everything God did pointed to that day Jesus would lay down His life on the cross. And Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, and God killed that animal to cover their nakedness. Death and suffering and sacrifices has always been mankind's way to get to God. We see it in Genesis 4 when Abel brought a lamb to be offered. Genesis 8 when Noah offered a sacrifice when he came out of the ark. Exodus 12 when the children of Israel killed the Passover lamb. And we see it in the Day of Atonement. We see it in the blood that was shed for thousands of years. However, bloodshed and death saved no one. Hebrews 10:4, "For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away the sin." All that blood did was push it forward to the cross. Push it forward to the cross. If you could turn over to Hebrews 9. I want to show you this here. Hebrews 9, verses 11 and 12. Hebrews 9, 11 and 12. All those sacrifices, they never removed any sin. They pushed it forward till the day that Jesus died on the cross. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11, "But Christ being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by what? His own blood." By His own blood, Jesus Christ, His blood. It's not man blood, it's God blood. 100% God He is, 100% man He is. "By His own blood, He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." See, it is finished. Eternal redemption was acquired that day. He put His blood on the mercy seat. He died one time. He doesn't have to come one time for eternal salvation. The shout that opened up heaven. John the Baptist said this in John 1:29. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Jesus Christ is it. His blood is it. In Revelation 1:5, the Bible says, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood." It's only Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1:18 and 9 talks about, "As much as you know, you are not redeemed with corruptible things, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. As of a lamb without blemish and without spot. You see, before Calvary, mankind was in bondage. We were in bondage to sin and death, but now Jesus finished works on that cross. It is finished. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Believest thou this? Romans 10:9-10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You see, Christ paid it all on that cross. The death, burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that's salvation. Salvation is not earned. Heaven is not earned. It is a free gift He gives to anyone. He'll give it to you today. If you've never received that gift, He'll give it to you today. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You can't add to a finished work. You can't add to a finished work. All you can do is accept it. Receive Him as your Savior. I got one more point for you here today. One more. The suffering of the Savior was finished. In John chapter 19, verse 30, He said He bowed His head and gave up the ghost. He bowed His head and He gave up the ghost there. And when Jesus said, "It's finished," He wasn't just referring to the work that He came to do, but He was referring to His willing suffering that He had endured on the cross. That cup, the cup of wrath, was empty. The pain, the mocking, the scourging, He endured all of that willingly for you and I. And now it was over. You and I, we can't even imagine what He went through. We can't even imagine. We can't think. We can't put our mind around what terrible price that Jesus paid for us. But if you turn over to Matthew chapter 27, let me give you a couple of verses as a rememory. In Matthew chapter 27, remember, Jesus was scourged. Okay? In Matthew chapter 27, look at verse 26. So that when He had scourged Jesus, He delivered Him to be crucified. Look there at verse 28 and 29. And they stripped Him and put on Him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon His head, and a reed in His right hand, and they bowed the knee before Him and mocked Him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." In verse 30. And they spit on Him, right? Remember, they spit on Him. They took the reed and smote Him on the head. Look there in verse 35. And they crucified Him and parted His garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. Verse 38. There were two thieves crucified with Him, one on the right hand and another on the left. And that's just getting going. There's a whole lot more. His beard was plucked out. Right? But He didn't do that as a victim. He did that as the victor. He was the victor, chose the very moment of death. In John chapter 10, verse 18, the Bible says, "No man taketh it from me, but I lay down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again." Hey, no man could do what Jesus Christ can do, has done. No angel could redeem man. No prophet could bear the world's sin. I cannot die for you. Only the sinless Son of God could take that place. He became the bridge between God and man. He is the only mediator. His body was broken and bruised and battered. And Isaiah 52:14 says His visage was so marred more than any man. Yet He never resisted, never retaliated. He didn't quit. He didn't give up. He opened not His mouth. He suffered voluntarily. He bowed His head and He gave up the ghost. No one took His life. He gave it for you and I. He freely gave His life for you and I. Now, when you talk about crucifixion, victims would often linger on that cross for days, suffering in torment. And you know, their hands are stretched out and their feet, or hands are nailed to that cross. And the only way they can breathe is to push themselves up on that board there, push themselves up to get a little bit of air in that breath. And it's excruciating pain. And the Romans knew how to do that. And they would linger there for days and days and days. But Jesus dismissed his spirit at the appropriate time, at the right time. Well, what time was that? When it was finished. When the work was finished, when it was finished, he died so that we don't have to. He died because he chose to. He chose to die for you and for I. And the Bible says that all those that are in him will never suffer the wrath. In Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Hey, we will face hardships in this life. We will face times of trials and things will come into our life. But eternal suffering is finished for the believer. In Revelation 21:4, the Bible says there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. The soldier on the battlefield, when he's victorious on the battlefield, he screams out, "Mission accomplished." Jesus, who endured the greatest spiritual war, declared, "It is finished." It is finished. So I ask you, what does that mean to you? What does "it is finished" mean to you? Well, for the sinner, it means the work for your salvation is done. You can't do it. You can't earn it. You can't work enough to get it. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Hey, for the saved, you're here today. You say, "I know I'm going to heaven." For the saved, it means your security is settled. Jesus paid it all. You're in Christ. Nothing can separate you from His love. We have eternal wrapped up in Him. But let me ask you a question. What are you doing about it? What are you doing about it? How are you living? Are you living for the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you living for the very fact of the matter that Jesus could come back right now? Are you living for Him? Are you living a holy, separated life according to His Word? Are you living for Him? Are you faithful to Him? If He comes back today, would He find you faithful? For the sufferer, for the one suffering, for the one going through that trial today, it means Jesus understands what it means to suffer. He finished His suffering, and today we finish too. Remember the promise there in Revelation 21:4. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, neither crying. Hey, the victorious shout, "It is finished." The shout that opened up heaven. "It is finished." Let's pray.